Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Milley with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with David Nichols, who wrote Far From the Madding Crowd.
Hi there.
Hi, David. So great to talk to you.
You too. How are you?
I'm doing good. I love the movie.
It was great.
So moving, and
Thank you.
I really wanted to know, how did you get everything in there? I mean, what is your process when you're adapting a novel, especially one that has so many events and could be so packed with things, and you only have a certain amount of time to get that across in a film?
You know, Hardy is a really interesting writer to adapt, because he writes, his novels are like a series of extraordinary set pieces. And when you talk to Hardy fans and you say you're adapting it, they would say, well, I hope you're going to have the bit where, and I hope you're going to have the scene where, you've got to have the scene with the sheep, and you've got to have the going off the cliff, and you've got to have this scene and that scene. And it's very, very, very hard to leave any of them out. And of course you have to, because you haven't got 4 hours, you've got 2 hours. I did tests many years ago for the BBC, and we had 4 hours, which was great. But Madding Crowd is a much more complicated story, and to do it in half the time was very difficult. So we decided, I think the worst thing you can do is try and do everything and do it all too briefly. It's better to, you know, we wanted to let certain scenes breathe and have some weight and not just condense everything. And that meant, you know, we cut a lot of the kind of the comedy. There's a lot in the novel that has a lot of kind of stuff about the servants and the workers on the farm. We just pretty much put a red line through all of that. The novel has some scenes, amazing scenes, but extraordinarily melodramatic scenes that are very, very hard to pull off in the film. So we cut a lot from the last quarter of the novel. The last quarter of the novel is much more complicated and packed with incident, and we condensed it pretty ruthlessly. But the hardest section was the opening, because the opening of the novel had a very slow burn, and if you were to tell it faithfully, you'd have 20 minutes of screen time before they even speak. So that was another area where we had to make some tough decisions. I wanted to really concentrate on the kind of face-to-face confrontations and to make the movie about those big, important scenes between Bathsheba and her suitors, the proposal scenes and the rejection scenes, and that was the focus. I'm sorry, I'm waffling on too much, but we decided very early on to make it Bathsheba's story. There are times in the novel where you follow the other characters off through their days and their experiences, and we wanted to try and keep Bathsheba at the centre of the novel at all times. The book jumps between four different viewpoints, and we wanted to try and keep either Bathsheba or Gabriel in every single scene.
I think it's tough, too, because you have, at some point, you just have to maybe put the book down and say that it's going to be your film.
Yeah. I mean, there's very little invented material, but Thomas was brilliant at this, because, you know, I grew up with these books and I know them backwards, and Thomas doesn't, and that's quite healthy. It's quite healthy to have someone who says, yes, but if you haven't read it, why is this scene here? If you haven't read the book, why do we need this moment? And there's a kind of creative irreverence, I think, in that kind of approach, to approach it from the point of view of the cinema goer rather than, you know, the Hardy fan. At the same time, you know, I consider myself, you know, something of a custodian, and I was very wary of inventing stuff. And I think probably there are only three or four scenes in the whole movie that aren't mentioned in the novel. But, you know, I thought long and hard about having Bathsheba go in the water with the sheep when they're washing the sheep. That was a new scene. Or having...
I loved that scene.
Yeah, it's a great scene, and I think it fits. But I'm scared of the Thomas Hardy Association. You know, I want them to love it too. So, there isn't a great deal that's made up. And most of the dialogue is paraphrased. The biggest change is the ending, where we took dialogue and sort of story beats from three or four different chapters and combined them into that final scene where she pleads with Gabriel not to leave and provokes a proposal. That's a kind of... Nearly everything in that scene is from Hardy, but it's from many different chapters.
So how long does the whole process take? When you, you know, you've got the book and you've got the job, the task at hand. What do you do first? Do you just start outlining? You said you put a red line through a lot. Just how does it take, a year or 6 months or
it
what?
I knew the book very well, and I just come straight off doing Tess of the Durbervilles, and so I was ready to do another Hardy. But this is a very difficult book because it's very melodramatic and extreme in places, and you know, has these kind of wild mood swings, and I felt like I had to know it very, very, very well. And so I read it without a pen in my hand, and then I listened to it on audiobook, different recordings, and I went for long walks and listened to it over and over and over again, so I felt that it was kind of drilling its way into my head. And only then did I start breaking it down. And the first draft of the script had a very unconventional structure. It had a kind of flashback structure. It started with Gabriel arriving, with Bathsheba arriving at Everdeen Farm, and then flashback to how she got there. And it was kind of unnecessary, really. Hardy tells the story so clearly and so well. So the second draft was actually much more faithful than the first, and usually that's not the case. Usually you find yourself pulling away from the source material, but in this case I found myself going back to it because it's so strong and so well told. Point of view was an issue as well. You know, should we ever see scenes where Bathsheba and Gabriel aren't present? That was something we thought about a great deal, and tried to minimize actually in the final draft. And the biggest problem I think was length. You know, the script was initially much, much longer, and the first cut of the movie was much, much longer than this finished cut. We had to lose a lot of scenes, which I you know, have mixed feelings about. But I think the final cut works. It's just that. Yeah, because I love the book so much. There are lines of dialogue that I really, really, really held to, that were never, ever going to find their way into the final movie. So Thomas was great with that because he's very insistent and very persuasive.
Well, it really comes through, especially when you're watching it, because you feel completely in that world and you're not even noticing, I guess, what is taken out or what is left in because you're so wrapped up in the characters. You had also written Great Expectations. I'm just wondering, as you adapt and take on new projects, what is something that you've learned just from this project, you know, that you would move forward on your next adaptation? Are you adapting something after this, or I can only imagine?
I've written a script of my all-time favorite novel. I used to say it was Great Expectations, but it's Tender as the Night, Scott Fitzgerald's Tender as the Night, which I think is the great, you know, the great underrated novel of the 20th century. I think it's an absolute masterpiece. And again, that's a script that's been in development for some time. But after that, I sort of have a little promise to myself not to do any more adaptation for a while, because you know, you have this twin... So that you're pulled in two directions, really. The desire to stay faithful to the source material if it's well-known and well-loved, and the need, the requirement to change it, to make it work in a different medium. And that's quite a difficult position to be in. To be sort of pulled one way and then the other. So I'm going to try and have a little break from... Well, certainly from adapting things which are kind of incredibly well known and well loved, and have maybe been made before. So it's difficult. I tend to be, the question was, what have I learned on this one? I think with Great Expectations, I was probably a little too faithful. You know, I revere that book so much that I was really scared to change it at all. And it's a very, very close adaptation, probably a little too close. I would probably, having worked with Thomas, feel a bit more confident that you can change the story and still remain faithful to the spirit of a book. That would be, I suppose, the lesson with this one. It's by no means an unfaithful adaptation, but I did have to let go of certain things that I really loved, which I thought were essential, and which actually turned out not to be essential.
Well, maybe, you know, as people change and as times change, different things become acceptable. I guess like what you're saying, once she gets in the water with the sheep, you're thinking, wow, what a great thing for a female farm owner to do. So it really fits to me. I loved it.
I thought it was great. I kind of thought, I'm pleased we did it in the end, but I could feel, you know, I can feel the Thomas, I can feel people sort of flicking through the paperback. You know, I think, you know, mentally, that's my anxiety, that people will go, really? I mean, what you want, I suppose what you're aiming for is to persuade people that they read it, even if they didn't. You know what I mean? But to persuade people that the scene is there, even when it's not. And I think Bathsheba washing the sheep is a successful instance where you sort of think, well, if that's not in the book, it almost could be. But the hardest thing for me is always losing stuff. You know, the novel has an amazing confrontation between Boldwood and Troy, and it's a sort of huge operatic scene, and we shot it. We just didn't have time to fit it in the movie. It was just too long, and it stopped the movie dead, and it didn't quite work. But I really missed that scene in particular. But elsewhere, you know, I'm really happy with the final version.
What was it like on set? Do you rewrite? Are you still doing notes or tweaking things, or what is that like?
We worked a lot. We worked a lot on the final scene, the final Bathsheba Gabriel scene, to get it just right. It was initially split between two scenes at that moment. There was one scene where she persuades him not to go, and another scene where she suggests that he propose again. And those were two different beats separated by some action. And it was Thomas's idea. I mean, I do have to give Thomas credit, because I held very tightly to the script, and Thomas is very persuasive, and I think in most instances his instincts are absolutely right, and he made a lot of contributions to the script in that scene in particular. The atmosphere on set was great, but it was very fraught, you know, because Hardy only really writes exteriors. Nearly everything happens, you know, in a field, and also Hardy is obsessed with the seasons. And on an 8-week shoot, you know, it's really hard to get winter, spring, summer, autumn. It's very, very hard to shoot. You can't split a scene across 2 days because the British weather is just too unpredictable. There's a lot of, you know, big action set pieces at sea and fires and storms and all of that stuff. So it was a very happy shoot, but a very tough shoot, which is why I stayed away for most of it. I was sat, you know, in front of a fire in London while they were standing in the fields in pouring rain, trying to make it look like August. It was happy but tough, I think.
Well, I've noticed how windy it was, and how I feel like that adds so much to it, the weather. And I hadn't realized until you said it how much of it is exterior. You feel like her feelings, I guess her emotions go sometimes with the weather, like if she feels beaten down by the wind.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most seasonal novel I can think of. You know, winter is Gabriel losing his sheep and Bathsheba's poverty. Spring is her inheriting the farm, Boldwood falling in love, Gabriel finding work. Summer is love and lust and sex and passion. And autumn is disillusionment and then death. And then winter is grief. And then you start again with rebirth. And I don't think there's a more seasonal novel. And it was a great achievement for them to shoot that in 8 weeks rather than 9 months, and make it feel broadly, you know, seasonal. I'm sure if you talk to Charlotta, the DOP, there are bits that she'd love to go back and, you know, shoot in a slightly different way. But it was very demanding. I mean, you'll notice, I mean, there's one glaring error for me anyway, where in the spring scene, where Gabriel proposes to Bathsheba for the first time, and he gives her a lamb that's pretty much a sheep. I mean, it's huge. because there's no way to get a tiny spring lamb in October. You just can't do it. So
it was so cute.
It was cute, but it was big. And it should have been, you know, something you could hold in one hand. And, you know, in the novel, he tells you when he gives you a date. It's in December the 18th, and you're trying to make December the 18th look like to capture it on September the 22nd. It's a very hard thing to do.
I bet there's a small margin of people that know really what a tiny sheep should look like, because
that's what I'm told. I'm the only person who worries about it.
I think it's very endearing. You're very dedicated, and I think it's great. Well, I really appreciate it. I loved our talk. I hope we can talk again on your next project. I think this one was wonderful, and I can't. Love Fitzgerald. So get going on it.
Yeah, I hope that comes off one day. I mean, it should do, because it's a beautiful, heartbreaking story, and one day it happens, but we'll see.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And take care. Okay.